Good evening. It's good to see you. Thankful that you're with us tonight. I hope you'll be opening your Bibles to Psalm 111. We're going to look at three different psalms here. Psalm 111, Psalm 112, and Psalm 113, as Alan has just read for you. And consider a few major ideas, just I guess maybe one major idea from each one of these psalms as we study tonight. But let me make you aware of one thing. Joyce and Ernie didn't ask me to do this. They're, you know, like to not cause attention, draw attention to themselves, and so I'm not trying to do anything out of order, but Joyce's sister in Lexington is not doing well. It's a possibility she may not make it through the night, and so I just wanted to say that for you so that you could be praying for them and thinking about Joyce and Ernie and their family as they face this difficult time, not to mention those who have already lost loved ones this week. Trying time for many of us in this family, and so we want to be aware of all of them. A friend of ours, a lady that worships with us quite a bit, Kim Jackson, friend of Jewel Searcy's, her mother passed away also, and her funeral is on Tuesday. I think someone's probably going to make a more official announcement later, but while I was thinking about saying goodbye to people that we love, I thought I'd mention that as well. Last week when we studied together, this is kind of part two of a two-part quick little mini-series here, because last week when we studied together, we looked at Psalm 88, right? Last Sunday night, we looked at the gloomiest, most tragic, darkest psalm in all of Scripture. Looking there at Psalm 88. And looking at that psalm last time, we talked about praising God in the darkness, praising God even in the bad times. We highlighted two different things there. We found that even in the darkest of circumstances, what we've still got to do is we've still got to talk to God. We've still got to call out to God. We've got to continue communicating with Him. We also saw that it's also the case that even believers are going to be depressed sometimes. We don't have to feel guilty if we don't feel like singing a happy song every single day. But this week, we want to look at the other side of things. We want to look at what you might say are three of the very happiest psalms in all of Scripture. We've been prepared, our minds and our hearts have been prepared to enter into this study as Scott has led us in several songs that were very happy and very positive. We just kept singing just now, "Praise the Lord." And that's a refrain we're going to repeat a number of times tonight as we read from God's Word. Praise the Lord. Things can be good sometimes. Things can be dark sometimes. But things can also be great sometimes. Last week we were looking at the darkness. This week we're going to be walking in the sunlight. I mean, just look at two different verses real quick. Psalm 112, verse 4. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. And then in 113 that Alan already read, verse 3. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. So last week, we ended in Psalm 88, that very last verse, where all the psalmist can do is just cry out, darkness. And this week, we're talking about being in the light, praising God from the light. These praise psalms are going to focus on God, of course, who He is, what He's done. But these praise psalms are also going to celebrate the changes that are to be seen in our lives. It's a pretty good companion lesson to the things that we thought about this morning, where we talk about motivation for our obedience, that when we know who God is and we seek to emulate and imitate God, that there should be differences, changes easily seen in our lives. And that's what these praise psalms are all about. We recognize who God is. We praise Him for that. We thank Him for His power, for His majesty, the things He's done. And then, guess what? I ought to see differences in my own life. And I even thank God and praise God for that. Now, as strange as looking at Psalm 88 last week may have been on some levels, mostly just because we probably don't study it much. We try and stay away from those dark and scary psalms like that. I think there's a measure of how passages like Psalm 88, where we're sad and we're confused, there's a sense in which those kinds of psalms are comfortable. We understand that. We understand suffering. We understand pain. And we know what it means that when we suffer, when we've got these questions, that we look for answers and we cry out to God for some kind of relief. We cry out to God for some kind of a direction. But maybe the flip side is a little bit more unknown. How are we supposed to conduct ourselves when things are good? Because see, we know what to do when things are bad. When things are bad, we cry out. When things are bad, we fall on our knees. When things are bad, we clasp our hands. When things are bad, we look at the heavens. But when things are good, what do we do? Because a lot of times we have a tendency, there is certainly the temptation, that when things are good and we're zipping along and we're coasting, is we may forget. We may forget to pay homage. We may forget to go to our knees and to praise and to worship Almighty God. Things are too good for us. So I want us to look at a few things here where God is being praised, and we're going to learn how to act in the light, learn how to act even during the good times. Because as we'll see from these three psalms, there are certain things that we should do. There are certain ways that we should be thinking when things are good. Ways we should think, ways we should act when we're happy. So that's what we're going to look at tonight, praising God in the light. So let's look first at Psalm 111. We're really just going to mention just one major idea from each one of these psalms. And the idea from Psalm 111 is this. It's the word share. Share. Read this psalm with me. All three of these are going to begin with this phrase, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food to those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They're established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. So here's the first thing that I want us to think about. That those three little words that are going to be repeated again and again and again in these three psalms, praise the Lord. It's actually the rendering of the word that we know well. We're familiar with this word. Hallelujah. That's what this is. You could very well, you may have that in your translation there. Instead of praise the Lord, your translation may say, hallelujah. And what that means, hallelujah, praise the Lord, they're the same thing. And what that is meaning is this, it's a summons. When this psalmist says, praise the Lord, he's not actually just saying, in essence, I praise the Lord. When someone says hallelujah, or someone says praise the Lord in this way, they're calling others to come and join in on the action. Come and praise the Lord with me. So if I say hallelujah, what I'm saying is I want you to join with me in recognizing the great way in which we've been blessed here. I want you to join in with me in praising and worshiping Almighty God. And that's what the psalmist is doing here. He's calling people to worship. Now, we sometimes have a time in our night like this, I guess probably when someone like Scott stands up and leads that very first song of the night, as people are still maybe coming in and talking and whispering, getting settled in. And after that first song, you know, something said about your pagers. It's not the first time that's been said, Scott. We've caught you. It's at least the second time you've said that. If you've got pagers, well, maybe you do, and I'm not casting stones. That's a call to worship. Get things settled. Get things put away. Get your mind focused. Be ready to engage in this awesome and amazing and wonderful, majestic activity in which we're about to engage. This is the time to come together. This is the time to focus our minds on heaven. That's the call to worship. And so when this writer here, as inspired by God, says, hallelujah. He's telling us, get ready. We're getting ready to worship God together. We're getting ready to think about heaven together. And so what he's saying here is, and this is what he's going to focus on, even notice this in that first verse, after he says, hallelujah, praise the Lord, he says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright, in the midst of the body, in the midst of the assembly, in the midst of the congregation. So what he's saying is, I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to worship with my fellow children of God. He wants to share in the moment. He doesn't want to be off on a deserted island somewhere all by himself. He wants to be with God's people. He wants to share in what it is to know God. Kind of the buzzword in 2014, the modern word is community. And it's not a bad word, but it's just a word that is hyped and used and maybe overused by some of our friends. But community is a very special idea. Communion, gathering around the table, being a part of the body of Christ, being able to encourage and pick up and uplift each other, crown each other's shoulders, laugh with each other. Being a part of a community, being part of a body is so important and so special. And the writer here says, I want to share God. I want to share the experience of being God's person with my other brothers and sisters. And now let me say to you here as he goes through this, some reasons why it's so important to share. Well, first and foremost, I would suggest that it's important to share because things are just better when they're shared. You get a new car, you get some new shoes, you know, whatever it might be, the best thing about that is being able to go to work or go to school, and you share that. Look what not bragging, but it's better when you can share these things you've been longing for, things you've been saving for, things you've been really building for. You've got a goal set, and you achieve it. It's better when you can share that with someone. And so he's talking about sharing in the ultimate something with someone. I believe it was Tim Keller who said, you can't enjoy something as much without praising it to another person. And I think what he's saying is that this, whatever item it may be that I've got, the item that I've been wanting for so long, for such a long time, been working towards, and then I finally attain it, it's not as great, it's not as special if I don't share it with someone. Talk about the experience, share that with somebody else. It's better, things are better when they're shared. Secondly, I would suggest that sharing is a sign of your excitement. Sharing is a sign of your love. Sharing is a sign of your devotion. I mean, just think about those kinds of materials, superficial things like cars and clothes and what have you. If you're going to be excited about that and share those things with people, how much more should we be sharing the ideas of eternity, sharing the ideas of a perfect, infinite, compassionate God? The psalmist said, I want to share in this with you. I'm not talking about gold. I'm not talking about silver. I'm not talking about bread. I'm talking about God, and I want to share him with you. Let's all gather together, and I can't wait to be in the company of the upright and share this with them. It's a powerful and special and beautiful thing. Thirdly, about sharing, let me say this, and this will be it. Sharing is a key tool in remembering. Brother Mark said this morning, as he was directing our minds and gathering, as we were gathering our thoughts to gather around the table and sharing the Lord's Supper together, he talked about how important it is to remember and how you and I as human beings are so prone to forget and how our God knew that of us. He knows what we're like. He knows what our tendencies are. And so he's given us tools to help us remember the things that are important. Sharing with each other is a great tool to help us to remember the important things. Thinking about the fact that Faith Harp just made her way back here just this weekend, right? Been on a trip for several months overseas in Europe. Coming home and now being able to share what she's been through and share her experiences with other people is not only going to be fun for her and fun for her family and friends, those kinds of things. I'm looking forward to hearing about it. But sharing what happened on that trip is going to be a way for her to remember. The more you tell it, the better you'll be able to fix it in your mind. You stop talking about it, it won't be long before you'll think, I have no idea what we did when we were in London. I remember being there, but I don't know what I did. But sharing it helps you to remember. I mean, it's the same thing. Your kids do something, say something funny. Talking about it, sharing about it. Nearly 40 years old, and we're still talking about it in my family, on the Warren side of the family. We still talk about things that I said or my cousin said when we were little bitty. Because we keep, every time we see each other, we talk about it. Drills it into your mind. And so he says here, I want to talk about the works of God. I want to talk about the things God accomplished in my life. I want to talk about the things that God accomplished in the history of our people. 111:1, we look back at it. I give thanks with my whole heart in the company of the upright, in the congregation. And here's what we're going to talk about, church. Great are the works of the Lord. Now, we can look at Hebrews 10:24, to stir one another up, and we stir one another up to love and good works by coming together, by being a family, being a body, being a community, and encouraging each other in that capacity. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 25 is the passage where our Lord tells us to come together, to assemble together and remember His body and His blood in the bread and the cup. The psalmist says it this way. Look at verses 4 through 6 in Psalm 111. He caused His wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He's going to tell us specifically how He caused Himself to be remembered. Verse 5, He provides food for those who fear Him. He remembers His covenant forever. What do you think the psalmist is making reference to there? Provides food for those who fear Him. That's not just one big, broad, general idea. I mean, that is true that He does provide food for those who fear Him. But this is in the context of a teaching moment where the psalmist says, remember the works of God. Remember, He's the one who provides food. What did God do while they were wandering in the wilderness? But provide manna, provide quail, bust on some rocks, provide water. He continually provided food and sustenance for them as they were wandering. He goes on there, the next verse. He's shown His people the power of His works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. Well, what does that have reference to? But of course, to giving them the promised land. Remember His works. He fed you in the wilderness. He gave us the land. He drove our enemies out before us. As long as we were faithful, He gave us victories. It wasn't until we were self-reliant. It wasn't until we were selfish. It wasn't until we were rebellious that we lost battles. This is the way the psalmist would write it over a few pages in Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 3 beginning. The things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. Now notice this is in the context of sharing what has taken place. We will not hide this from our children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and His wonders that He has done. Isn't that exactly what, back in Exodus 12, what God told the Israelites to do? Now, when you leave here and you start wandering and you start bringing these lambs out once a year and you sacrifice this Passover lamb and you keep this Passover meal, you know what's going to happen in the future? Is your kids are going to say, why are we doing this? He's going to say, you tell them. You tell them it's because of what the Lord has done. You tell them it's because how the Lord loves us, how the Lord has protected us, how the Lord has preserved us. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And He continues to take care of us today. You tell them. Tell them about His works. You share with each other. You remember. One other thing I want to say about Psalm 111. I love these three psalms. They're so beautiful. But let's just make one other note and then go quickly to the others. In verse 2, it says, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Studied by those who delight in them. Maybe a good way, maybe even a better way to render that word that's studied there is sought out. Sought out. Great are the works of the Lord, sought out by all those who delight in them. In other words, they've gone to the archives. They've gone to the library. They've pulled numerous books down off the shelf. They've sat at the feet of numerous different elders who have been through the war, been through the fire, and made it out on the other side, and they can't get enough. They keep wanting to hear more. Tell me about the Lord. Tell me about His works. Tell me about the things He's done. I can't get enough. My appetite cannot be satiated. I cannot be filled up. I need more. I need more. And think about it. If you're going to share something with someone, and that's what we're to do, is share, you got to be informed about something. At least that should be the case. We have a tendency to want to talk and share before we've been informed. Well, that's normal. It's not a good normal, but it is normal. It's a very horrible normal. We want to talk before we've got the info. But if you really and truly want to share something about Jesus, which ought to be all of our goal, right? You need to be informed about Jesus. You need to have gone and studied, sought out who he is, sought out what he's done, sought out what he's about, so you can then turn and share him with others. And that's natural. It's natural to want to know more and more and more about someone that you're interested in. It's natural to want to know more and more and more about a subject that you're interested in. If you want to tell people about Jesus, you need to know him yourself. You can't give away what you don't have on your own. So it says that I'm going to give thanks to the Lord. I'm going to praise him in the company of the congregation because I'm going to tell about the works of the Lord that I have sought out. I have studied them. I know what he's about, and I can't wait to share it. So it comes, what you and I are to do in the good times, when it's light, is we're to be sharing. Sharing in a community like this, coming together and praying and singing and worshiping, but also telling about the works of God. Secondly, not only are we to share, but we are to prepare ourselves. As we said this morning, God is to be praised for the way he blesses and shapes those people who trust in him. We have to be seeking to change. Staying the same is not acceptable. Staying the same is not okay, especially in the light of the fact that we're learning more and more about God. And as we said this morning, we're to be imitating God. And so as we learn more about him, we're to be changing more. This psalm points out, Psalm 112 points out some of the things that will describe you and me if we know God. Here's the first thing. The first word is the word righteous. Listen to this. Verse 1, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man. See, this is going to be talking about, I'm going to praise God, but then it says, because of who I am. I praise him because of what he's done to and through me. So praise the Lord, and blessed is the man who fears the Lord and greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. The one who knows God and seeks to praise him in the congregation is someone who's righteous. But again, you see, that's because God is righteous. And if we're seeking to be like him, we'll be righteous. The second thing is gracious. Look at verses 4 and 5. Light dawns in the darkness of the upright, or for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends and who conducts his affairs with justice. The man who is gracious and makes himself to be like God is blessed. Gets to stay in the sunlight. Number 3, confident. Verses 6 through 8. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He's not afraid of bad news. Now, that's an interesting one, isn't it? He's not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. In other words, until the job is completed and he's victorious because he's on the side of God. Now think about that. Remember, this is talking about living in the light. This is talking about praising God when things are going well. What he just said here is not acceptable. Is that when everything's okay, your attitude is this. Well, I'm just waiting on the other shoe to drop. It's just a matter of time. Things are going too good. It's just a matter of time before things go south. It's just a matter of time before something bad happens. No. The man or the woman who is of God and knows God and is seeking to study the things of God, remembers the works of God, when they are in the light, they're ready for bad news. You know why? What are some of the things Paul said? What are some of the things that any of the New Testament, if God is for us, who can be against us? Paul said, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. From prison, he said that. I can face any high, any low. I'm ready for any news. I'm ready for all comers. Because as he said to those in Galatia, if this is my day of death, this is the day of my greatest gain. He's ready. He's ready. You see, we can say that about our faithful, those that we love so dearly. If they've been bought by the blood of Jesus, we're ready for even bad news for them. We won't be happy about it, but we're ready for it. Because we know what is in store, because they're prepared. Lastly, it says in verses 9 and 10 that they're generous. He has distributed freely. He's given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. So there's the description of the person who knows God and is seeking to praise God even in the daylight. He's righteous, he's gracious, he's confident, and he's generous. See, I've got to prepare myself. Do I look like that? Do I look like that kind of person? Do those words describe me? Am I a generous person, a righteous person, a gracious person, a confident person, ready for whatever tomorrow holds? Because what if today is the day of salvation? Great. I'm ready. Come, Lord. Even come quickly, Lord. That's the person who praises God in all circumstances. They are prepared. So we're to share, we're to prepare, and then thirdly, from chapter 113, we're to know that He is aware. So I shall share, I shall be prepared, all because I know He is aware of me. These words that Alan has read, we won't take the time to read all of them again. But we see here he has the same beginning. Praise the Lord. Praise servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. He's emphasizing this again and again. And he's going to talk about who God is and what God is like. And I want you to notice in verse 4, he says, the Lord is high above all nations, and His glory is above the heavens. He's high above. Of course He is. He's God. He transcends all things. As King Saul would say, Solomon would say, as the temple was being dedicated, as the Apostle Paul would say, as he stood on Mars Hill beneath the shadow of the Acropolis there with the Parthenon, God can't be reined in or held in any confined space like a building, no matter how glorious the building is. God is everywhere. It's in Him that we even live and breathe. He's high, He's low, He's here, He's there. We can't go to a place where He is not. We can't escape Him. He's high above. He can't be compared to anything. Verse 5, who's like the Lord our God? Well, no one. The obvious answer there is that no one is. Nothing is like Him. Who can do what the Lord can do? No one. Only Almighty God can do what He does. And yet, with all of this, see, verses 4 and 5 is setting us up, if you will, showing us how majestic, how glorious, how powerful He is, but to get us to this point, even though He's above, even though He is all-powerful and all-knowing, He still knows every little detail of my life. He knows every little detail of your life, and He's tuned in to it. He cares about what's happening in the lowliest life. If you'll allow this, no life is lowly, right? All life is precious, created in the image of God. But if you'll allow this terminology for the sake of illustration, even in the lowliest life, the most forgotten life, according to men, God knows every detail, every moment, knows just what that individual needs. He knows who hurts. He knows who needs special care. He knows who needs to be lifted up. And He knows when and how to do it. Verse 7 says He raises the poor from the dust. Because even though He's there seated on high, He's looking down from the heavens onto the earth. And He raises the poor from the dust, and He lifts the needy from the ash heap in order to make them sit with the princes of His people. Now think about that. Isn't that something you would want to share in? I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of the family that God knows so well. I want to be a part of the family that God gives His special attention to. And then I want to tell other people about that. I want to share that idea of hope and comfort and love and compassion with other people. And so therefore, I want to prepare myself to be worthy of such a calling. And so I share and I prepare because He is aware. As we've seen over these last 2 weeks, no matter how dark, we're not to turn our backs on God and not to ever give up on Him. We're to keep calling out to Him, keep sharing the message of Him with others, keep preparing ourselves to be with Him. We're not to ever think that we're a failure. Here in Psalm 113, these that are sitting in the ash heap, don't you think there were times in their lives as they sat there on the ash heap, they were convinced, I'm worthless. I'm ready just to give it all up because I'm a nothing and I'm a nobody. Nobody cares. Nobody hears. You ever said, and I know this is said in jest, you ever said something like, you say, hey, how you doing? Oh, can't complain. Nobody would listen anyway. Right? I know it's a joke. But with God, that's never true. He's aware of our complaints. He's aware of what we feel like as we sit on the ash heap. So let our praise be given to God even in the bad times. Let our praise be given to God even when we're in the light, even in the good times. Let us share and prepare because He is aware. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us gather and be together and praise Him. I love looking at these Psalms and being stirred up by them and being encouraged to praise God. I ask you tonight to praise Almighty God. It might be the case that the way in which you need to praise Him tonight is to come before Him, telling Him you recognize He's the only one that can fix your situation. Praise be to Him that He's willing. If you need to be subject to the invitation and come and ask for forgiveness, come and ask for your brothers and sisters to pray for you, or maybe it's the case you need to come and be united with Jesus in His death and resurrection in a watery grave of baptism, we offer you those things. We can praise the Lord together as we stand and sing.